Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Monday, September 30th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, Georgia's abortion law is struck down. Residents of Rockdale County have been told to shelter in place after a fire at a chemical plant. And we'll talk to Jason Carter, the grandson of Jimmy Carter, as the former president gets ready to make history tomorrow. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. A judge has struck down Georgia's abortion law, which took effect 2 years ago and effectively prohibited abortions beyond about 6 weeks of pregnancy. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney wrote in his order that liberty in Georgia includes the, quote, power of a woman to control her own body. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022 and ended a national right to an abortion, it opened the door for state bans. 14 states now bar abortion at all stages of pregnancy, with some exceptions. Georgia was one of four where the bans kicked in after about the first 6 weeks of pregnancy, which is often before women realize they're pregnant. McBurney wrote that his ruling means the law in the state returns to what it was before the law was passed in 2019. More than 90,000 residents in Metro Atlanta's Rockdale County have been told to shelter in place a day after a chemical plant fire sent a massive plume of dark smoke high into the sky. A haze and chemical smell spread today over Atlanta. Mayor Andre Dickens says officials are waiting for more guidance from state and federal environmental officials.
It's not at exceeding levels. It's not at levels that exceed where humans can deal with it. But those that are immune challenged, those that have conditions, may want to stay indoors or wear a mask out of precaution.
Authorities say chlorine was detected in the air from the fire at the biolab plant in Conyers. Some school districts in the area have canceled outdoor games this afternoon. Rockdale County's fire chief says a sprinkler head malfunctioned at the plant on Sunday morning. No injuries were reported. Two controversial new rules passed by the Georgia State Election Board are set to face their first test in court, and tomorrow will go to a bench trial, meaning a judge, not a jury, will decide the case. The board's Republican majority approved the rules last month after being lauded by former President Donald Trump as, quote, pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory. Democrats are challenging the rules, saying they could be used to, quote, upend the legal process for certifying the state's election results. Georgia Power and Georgia EMCs say 500,000 electric customers were without power as of this afternoon, days after Hurricane Helene ripped across the state. Georgia Power calls the storm the most destructive hurricane in its history. It says Helene took down more than 5,000 power poles and the equivalent of more than 400 miles of wire. Georgia Electric Membership Cooperation, representing the state's EMCs, says the hardest hit areas could be without power for a week or more. A month of tragedies in Georgia is expected to push back this year's high school football playoffs. The Georgia High School Association's Dr. Robin Hines and Dr. Tim Scott told GPB's Football Fridays podcast today that schools will be able to use a pre-planned week without games in late November to catch up from games canceled because of Hurricane Helene and the Appalachian High School shooting.
But most importantly, it's going to give additional options for those people, like, for instance, down in Valdosta, who are hurting so badly. And talking with those people, Danny Redshaw, the AD down there, you know, he's called me every day, and he doesn't know what to do. They don't know what to do. He said, right now, we're just in survival mode. And the way Tim's thinking about this thing is the right way to help those people as much as we possibly can.
Okay, so Dr. Scott, break this down for me. So the fortunate idea of coming into this season, of having that Thanksgiving bye week, is turned into something fortunate that you've got as a vehicle now to give folks that leeway to finish that football schedule and even other sports as well, because it's not just football that's affected here, but football being the big marquee event here, you now have that leeway available.
Oh, absolutely. That's just what we're looking at, not just football, but we have, you know, girls flag football, softball, volleyball, cross country. I mean, we've got several activities that we're looking at, all of them. And I think that having that opportunity to push back, to give our school support, but not just to give our school support, but each region of the state gets the opportunity to choose how can we best use this time to help our community and help ourselves as we move forward.
That was the GHSA's Drs. Robin Hines and Tim Scott, along with GPB's John Nelson. According to that conversation, the start of the football playoffs would be pushed back from November 8th to 15th, while the state championships in Atlanta will remain from December 16th to 18th. A final decision is expected to be announced tomorrow. You can hear the entire conversation on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast at gpb.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. The pace of recovery from Hurricane Helene in Georgia is only beginning to match the human need in hard-hit communities like Valdosta. The situation is similar in Augusta, where GPB's Grant Blankenship reports.
By Monday morning, Augusta was in the second day of having no city water. So firefighters and volunteers handed out bottled water at a handful of spots around town.
Thank you so much.
Most people put the water in their cars, not Shadé Collins.
We ain't got no car, so right now we just got to make it do what we do, what we can.
She says she's grateful for the help, but in the day four after Helene, she says she's struggling, like now, walking for miles, carrying this water on top of her head.
We're running out of candles, running out of batteries. Everybody right now is kind of in survival mode because everything is very limited.
That includes food. A lot of it in her refrigerator has spoiled. Collins will walk through Tyrone Hills neighborhood around East Boundary Street before she makes it home.
They ain't down there kind of desperate. All the stores down there have been looted, so there is not even no food in the community.
The Dollar General was emptied. It's boarded up. The gas station around the corner was emptied last night, too, but the owner is open again. State officials say the National Guard is in the city. Hill's not seen them yet.
There ain't no National Guards out, at least not in my community where I live there.
Help is coming. During an Augusta press conference with Governor Brian Kemp, the Georgia Emergency Management Agency said it's opening 13 more food and water distribution sites around Augusta. Their locations will be listed on the GEMA website. Meanwhile, Georgia Power says it could be Saturday before the power's back on. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Augusta.
Former President and now candidate Donald Trump visited Valdosta today to see the damage done by Hurricane Helene and talk about relief efforts. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Trump spoke in front of a furniture store that was ravaged by hurricane winds. An entire wall of the building was torn off, and bricks littered the ground around it. Trump said he delivered gasoline, water, and food to Valdosta to help with relief efforts from Hurricane Helene.
And we'll be back, and we'll be back again soon, and we'll continue to help until you're bigger, I say bigger, better, stronger than ever before. But again, you can't ever discount the fact that people are lost.
Governor Brian Kemp spoke with President Biden over the weekend, who let him know FEMA was sending food, water, gasoline, and other supplies to areas hit hard by the storm. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Valdosta.
For people without insurance, updated COVID vaccines might not be affordable. Some reports estimate they could cost over $100. But as GPB's Sophie Gratis reports, there's an alternative route as we approach the busiest season for respiratory virus spread.
Every county in Georgia has a public health department, and there, uninsured individuals can get their vaccines for a small fee of around $20. The Department of Public Health says it ordered around 33,000 doses of the updated COVID vaccine from the CDC for those in the state without insurance. That vaccine is being recommended for anyone over 6 months old. Of that state supply, Immunization Director Paige Lightsey in Savannah says each county in her public health district has received around 50 doses.
I see that increasing over time, but we have to make sure the entire state of Georgia has vaccine initially.
Other counties may have more or less, so Lightsey says it's good to check locally. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Workers at the Port of Savannah and the Port of Brunswick are expected to go on strike starting tomorrow as part of a larger walkout across the East Coast and Gulf of Mexico. GPB's Benjamin Payne reports.
The International Longshoremen's Association is seeking higher wages for its workers as well as restrictions to automation. A shutdown of ILA-staffed ports from Maine to Texas is estimated to cost the U.S. economy up to $5 billion per day, according to J.P. Morgan. Here's ILA President Harold Daggett speaking in a video posted by the union.
These greedy companies have made billions in the past few years, especially during COVID. We never shut the ports down. ILA members lost their lives. My men went to the docks every day, up and down the coast, to keep those ships going.
The U.S. Maritime Alliance, which represents port employers, did not respond to a request for comment. The Port of Savannah is the second busiest port on the East Coast, behind only the Port of New York and New Jersey. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
Dikembe Mutombo has died. The Basketball Hall of Famer was one of the best defensive players in the game's history and a longtime global ambassador of basketball. He died today from brain cancer. He was 58 years old. His family revealed 2 years ago that he was undergoing treatment in Atlanta for a brain tumor. The NBA said he died surrounded by his family. Mutombo spent 18 seasons in the NBA, including 5 with the Atlanta Hawks. Mutombo last played in 2009 and then devoted his time after retirement to charitable and humanitarian causes. He spoke 9 languages and founded the Dikembe Mutombo Foundation in 1997, concentrating on improving health, education, and quality of life for people in the Congo. Former President Jimmy Carter is set to make history tomorrow by reaching the century mark. Carter, already the longest living president, will spend the day with his family in his hometown of Plains. With me now is his grandson and the chair of the Board of Trustees of the Carter Center, Jason Carter. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me.
What does this milestone mean for your family?
You know, I think when you think about my grandfather having lived for 100 years, there are so many things packed into that. It's really unbelievable just to imagine this century and what he has seen in his life, the transformation of our world in so many ways. Obviously, the arc of his life is an incredible one. But when we look back on these 100 years for him, we see a life of faith and a life of service. And it's been remarkable for us to get a chance to really do that reflecting.
And how is he now?
Now he's been in hospice for 19 months and he hasn't had any real health change. He's been very physically diminished. It's difficult for him to do sort of the daily things in life. And so he's really constrained by that, but he is still emotionally active and he's, you know, paying attention to the world and having experiences that continue to be rewarding.
What's bringing him joy these days?
He's still doing the things that he loves, right? He loves watching the Braves play.
Even this year?
Yeah, well, you know, he's frustrated by the injuries, just like the rest of us. But I'm sure he was glad to see Michael Harris come back and Ozzie Albies come back. And but in all seriousness, I mean, he really has been spending a lot of time watching baseball and being with his family. You know, my Uncle Chip and Jeff, my Aunt Amy have really spent, and my Aunt Becky have spent an enormous amount of time down there over the last couple of years at his side. And, you know, that's been a time of extended reflection for them on their relationship. And I think that's really been great for him.
My understanding is that there is a naturalization ceremony scheduled for his birthday that he's particularly excited about. What makes that such a special way to mark his birthday?
So my grandfather was the president for 4 years and the governor for 4 years. And the other 92 years in his life, he was a citizen. And he has always just considered that title to be the highest title in America, right? That is who runs our government. It is what our belief system and our economy and everything else is based on, as being a citizen. And I think that he has always loved the naturalization ceremonies because it's always been a big deal for him to see other people join him as an American citizen.
People often mention your grandfather's grit and tenacity. What qualities does he have that may have helped him reach this 100-year milestone?
When you're talking about milestones like this, it really makes us all realize that we're not in charge of how much time we get on the earth. And he believes that this is a part of his faith journey that is fundamental to who he is. And so I think that in this moment, the reflection that we all have, even though we thought when he first went into hospice, it was going to be a matter of days, and here it has turned into a matter of years. I think that really what he would attribute that to is God's plan for him, whatever that may be.
A few months ago, it was mentioned that he wanted to make it to 100 so he could vote in this upcoming presidential election. In your view, has that played a role? He just wants to see how this plays out and he wants to participate.
You know, I think like a lot of the rest of us, he is engaged in our politics right now. He's excited to cast a ballot for Kamala Harris for a host of reasons, right? I mean, his 100 years on this earth would be, it's a remarkable capstone there if she gets elected president, given how far we've come as a nation. But he also is ready to turn the page on Donald Trump and that era of our politics that we all, I think, are sort of ready to go back to normal. But I do think he's engaged. Again, that citizen part of his life is the most important to him. And so if there's an election, certainly he's going to be voting in it.
Well, with the understanding that he's very physically limited lately, how's he going to be spending his birthday?
Our family is going to go down for his birthday on October 1st. He's going to watch the broadcast on Georgia Public Broadcasting of his 100th birthday concert celebration, which we loved. That's going to be broadcast on October 1st, and he'll definitely be watching. And other than that, it's just going to be a family day. There's going to be some festivities in Plains where people are celebrating, but for him, I think it's going to be spent with family and with exciting celebrations of his love for music.
Well, Jason Carter, thank you so much for speaking with me. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.
That's Jason Carter, grandson of former President Jimmy Carter and the chair of the Board of Trustees of the Carter Center. The Carter Library is open to the public, and we invite you to join us there for a special live broadcast of All Things Considered tomorrow beginning at 4. You could also listen on GPB Radio or at GPB.org, and you can tune in to GPB TV tomorrow evening at 7 for Carter 100, a celebration in song. Georgia students showed strong improvement on this year's Georgia Milestones math tests. The State Department of Education said today that scores increased on 6 of the 7 assessments, including 8-point increases in 8th grade math and high school algebra. This comes after the state overhauled math standards in the 2023-2024 school year. While the math results were higher, less than half the students in all grade levels were proficient or above in math. Results for English and language arts, science, and social studies were released 2 months ago. In baseball, after an exciting back and forth in which the Braves blew a 3-0 lead and then recaptured it with a late game rally, the Braves lost to the Mets 8-7 in the first of a doubleheader. The Braves need one win today to ensure a wild card spot. If the Braves lose the second game, the Arizona Diamondbacks will punch their postseason ticket and the offseason will begin for Atlanta. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you have feedback or a story idea for us, we would love to hear from you. Email us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. And remember to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. That way we'll pop up automatically in your podcast feed tomorrow. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.